Hello, everyone, and welcome to our webinar topic for today, What's New at PowerDiary? So we're looking at 2024 so far. So this is our first one of these series that we are doing for 2024. So we'll be looking at what's been released this year, but also towards the latter part of last year since our last webinar on new releases. Now, joining with me today, we have Claire. Claire has been with PowerDiary now for, we were working out before, Claire, how long has it been?
We're coming up to 10 years in about 2 months' time.
10 years, amazing. It's gone so fast. It's, Claire started it really with has. It's flown past. And Claire first started with us, you started as our first hire in support. And we're also working in the psychology office as well, that we had our in the early days of PowerDiary, we had the psychology practice and PowerDiary study when you first joined, and then over the years you've actually worked at different roles throughout. So first in customer support for a number of years, then into data migration, and so you were managing the migrations for a long time, so you got a very inside out look at everything to do with how PowerDiary's data is structured and getting people, you know, onboarded. And then more recently, I should say, well, it's now back in 2022, you joined the product team. And now you have input into all sorts of things to do with the product and what gets developed and how the features get built. And so thank you very much for joining today. You're the perfect person to have on now to take us through these features. The other thing I should mention, of course, in all that time, you also went off and got yourself a nursing degree over that time as well. So you've had a very busy 10 years.
Yeah.
And indeed. All related to health.
Yeah.
Very good. For those who haven't joined before, my name is Damien. I'm the one of the co-founders of PowerDiary. And a very quick backstory is that I'm a psychologist by trade. PowerDiary really sort of came out of running a private practice with my wife, who's also a psychologist, and realizing that there was a real need for a better way of doing things to automate practices. And that's a long time ago. I partnered with my brother, Paul, who's the other co-founder, and we started PowerDiary, and the rest is history. All right, let's jump straight into what we're going to be talking about today. So we're going to be going over a bunch of the new features, and I'm just going to update this here. So we're going to cover automations, rooms and resources, credit cards, formatting notes, different communication features, Outlook, Gmail integration, calendar syncs, NDIS uploads, cloning availability, and a whole bunch more. So we'll dive straight into it, and we'll kick off, I think, first with looking at automation. So I'll throw to you on this, Claire. Tell us, what are automations about and what can they do?
Yeah, automations are our newest feature on the block. These are a very powerful new feature that allows you to automate those previously sort of time-consuming admin tasks that are sort of repetitive. So as we can see on this screen here, we've got three different automation types, which is based around invoicing. We've also got it based on post appointments and then also refills. I'm actually going to jump in and start sharing my screen and just show you guys through how the automations are set up.
Wonderful. I'll just stop the presentation so you can take over the screen.
Here we are. I've jumped into availability.
That's all right.
So if we just look under our settings menu here, under configuration, we will find our automations menu. And here we are. So what we see here is the list of automations. I've set up three of these sort of main use cases, and we'll have a look at just how these are set up and what they can do. First of all, with our invoicing automation type. So this one is based on the invoice date. If the invoice is linked to an appointment, the invoice date is going to be the appointment date. But if it is not linked to one, you can set that invoice date. So here we set how many days after the invoice date we'd like this automation to be triggered. And it's also based on the invoice status, which at this stage we have unpaid as the status. So if it's not fully paid, So if these conditions are met, then we can trigger these actions. So this will happen automatically, and we can choose multiple different actions to occur. So we have the choice of an email going out, an SMS going out, or we can create a task. If you'd like to create a task, this will be created in the task area, and it's something that if, you know, if you need to review the invoice or, you know, do an action on your end, a task would be more appropriate. Mm-hmm. Just keep in mind with the invoicing, the SMS and the email will be sent to the default payee for the invoice. So this is the person responsible for paying the invoice rather than the client necessarily, if it is billed to a third party, for example.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so this may be if you've got outstanding invoices and you want to automate the collection, for instance, of those outstanding or sending reminders, you can say, hey, when it's 7 days past the date of the invoice, if it's not paid, then send out these communications. And maybe you'd also add a task to say, maybe you want someone to manually check something or to tick something off in the task list exactly. as well. So no, that's great. So this sort of saves a lot of time, a lot of manual processes, right?
Yes, needing to chase up, you know, what hasn't been paid and then, go in and manually send something out. So definitely saves time there. I did just remember, though, we have introduced a new merge field for this one, so it's just worth noting that if you are sending out an email or an SMS to the payee, we recommend setting up a template that includes this new merge field, which is the invoice PDF link. This actually takes them to a new look. It looks quite like our client portal, but on this, they don't need to log in. They can view the details of the invoice. They can download it. What's really cool is if you're connected with Stripe, they can actually pay for it directly through there. So it's very powerful.
Yeah, perfect. And that's different to where we just like attach as a PDF to an email or something, the invoice, but actually takes them to a place where they can perform the action that you want
exactly.
them to do, you know.
And
it could also be if you wanted to automatically email out the paid invoice the next day or something for the, you know, the patients that were in the day before, and you said, all right, here's a link to it. You could set it presumably that way and have it kind of go out so that people can get a copy of that, you know, without you having to do anything.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so that is our invoicing automation. Next, we'll take a look at the post-appointment automation. So I've called this one new client survey. That's a typical use case for this one. But the way this one works is it's based on the appointment date. So once an appointment has passed, we can set the number of days that we would like this to be sent out. And we also have the option here to filter by the appointment location, the status of the appointment, the service that was linked to the appointment, and the appointment flag. So this really gives a lot of power to you to customize who you would like to target with this communication. And as with the invoicing, you can choose for an email or an SMS to be sent. This, in this case, will be sent to the client that attended the appointment. Or you can create a task if it's something that you need to follow up on, say writing your notes, you know, the day after the appointment, make sure they're done.
Fantastic. So that's great. It's a good example of the different combinations you can set and different things that you can actually use it for. That's great.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, and then the final one here is for recalls. So a recall is quite similar to the post appointment in that it's based on the appointment date, but in this case, it's when the client has no future appointments booked. So typically people would set this for, 3 months after their last appointment, for example, but of course you have the option to customize this as you need to fit your purpose. So after the last appointment date where they have no future appointments booked, you can also choose the location, the flag, and also the client status. So if you set them to close, for example, you don't want to send them any more communication, you can choose to just target those that are active still.
Yeah.
Once that period has been met, again, you can choose to create a task, send out an SMS or an email to the client directly to recall them back in for another appointment. Yeah,
absolutely. And this is great in terms of client retention, making sure there's follow-up as well, that I think also like that you don't, the patients aren't sort of left, dropped off the books because maybe they had an appointment, they had to cancel last minute for some reason, they weren't able to rebook at the time, and then all of a sudden they kind of disappear
into the
ether. So this sort of allows for that kind of, to catch that type of scenario as well and make sure that, you know, they're picked up. And I think like the quick backstory to this too, we it's still in beta. We've got we first released it with allowing people three automations initially, just as we were sort of rolling it out and testing it. We've now increased that, right?
Yes, so we're up to 10, and it's just worth noting that's, yeah, automation templates. So you can set up 10 different templates like what we've seen here. As to how many that actually, you know, how many emails or SMS that sends out, that's unlimited. So yeah, it's worth clarifying that. But yeah, at this stage, we've got it at 10, but we will increase that in the future once we progress with our beta testing.
Yeah, perfect. So that's why it doesn't matter how many actions it triggers, we're not worried about that. It's just, yeah, at the moment, yeah, 10 different sort of automatic processes you can have running. And so, for example, on the screen here, we can see three, you can have another 7 active automations. So that is brilliant. Really, I mean, we've had, this has been on the cards for a while, you know, a feature, again, very much aligned with that idea of making practices sort of simpler to run, reducing sort of admin and allowing people to provide you know, a better service without having to do more work. Right?
So, exactly.
It's really, really good. It's very exciting to have this out.
Absolutely. All right. Very I'm going to stop sharing.
Yeah. And we'll go back to the presentation and we'll jump to the next one. You can click on
there we go.
Yep. So rooms and resources. So this is out towards the second part of last year, if I'm remembering correctly, but we haven't covered this in our last webinar. So rooms and resources, what does this do for us and how does it help?
Yeah, our rooms and resources really focus on allowing you to set up items. So this could be rooms or equipment, or resources that you need to book in for an appointment that you don't need, that you don't want to double book. So in particular, like a good example here is a room. If you have multiple rooms in your clinic and, you know, multiple practitioners, you can only book in one practitioner into one room at a time. Rather than having to manage that through, you know, a series of personal appointments or having to ask each other who's booked in this room when, this really takes that step out of it, and it ensures that you can allocate the appointment to the room in this case and prevent other appointments being made at that time in that same room. So it's really about managing those resources efficiently to prevent double bookings.
Yeah. And letting the system try to do the work for you rather than, like you say, having to try and manage and how many people do we have booked in at once and do we have enough resources to cover that. Then you're going to take us through a demo, I think, and show us how this works.
I will. Let me stop the presentation and set up my screen. All right. So what we've landed on here is just under our settings menu. So we're on the resources page here. This is where we come to set up our resources. So just briefly, we have, first of all, our resource groups. These are a collection of like items. So in this case, I've set up two of the common sort of use cases. So we have laptops, we have rooms, but of course you can use this in any way that you do need. And this gives us a count of how many items are linked to that particular group. So if we then hop into the resource items page, and my internet's a little bit slow, so things are a little bit slow to load. Yes, sorry about that.
Michael, as we were starting this, we were like, Murphy's Law, that you've got some localized internet issues, but that's fine. We'll be right.
Just bear with me.
Yeah.
So on this page here is where we set up the actual items. So in this case, we have three different laptops that are all part of that laptop group, and we have two rooms. So if you have multiple items, you can either number them, as you've seen I've done here, or you can give them a bit more of a descriptive name, like upstairs room or playroom or accessible room or something like that, whatever works for your practice.
Yeah.
And items can be linked to a particular location as well. So the group itself isn't linked to a location, but the item within that. So if it's a room, it exists at one particular location. And this will actually be used when you're, say, on the appointment and the appointment's in a particular location. When you're looking at the list of resource items that you can choose, we're going to filter that out so you just see the items available at that location.
Wonderful.
Okay.
So it means that even if you try hard, you really can't make a mistake. That's what it comes down to, isn't it?
Yeah,
if you've got the location, really we haven't. That's right. It's good.
We don't want you to book it in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So how this can then be used is that when we want to find, let's say we want to book in a room, but we're not quite sure when it's available. we don't want you to have to click through every appointment to figure that out. So we have incorporated into our time finder here the ability to search for a free time for a particular resource. So you start off by filtering out the duration of the appointment you'd like. So I'm just going to go 30 minutes. We choose our practitioner that we want to book with, and then we choose our location. So I'm going to choose my main clinic location here. Then we see our list of resources. So the blue little header here is the resource group that we set up. So I have rooms and laptops. And then under that, we have the resource items under that group. So we can choose upstairs room, for example, and this will show us the available time. So on the 14th, I can choose 2:08 p.m., for example. This will bring up the new appointment panel, and I can then close my availability on my time finder, and I can make that appointment here.
Mm. And this would be sort of particularly useful, the search like that. If a practice has a resource that's in high demand, so sometimes we'll find maybe in psychology there's testing kits that people are using to do, you know, intelligence testing or cognitive testing, but there might be a lot of demand on those kits. And so that way you can say, okay, I need the kit for X amount of time. The practice might have a few of them, but when can I see the next one sort of available? That's, and you know, maybe also available when the testing room is available too, that we might use. So yeah, really good like that. And if it's just routine day to day, people don't necessarily need to use the finder. They could just click the appointment slot the way they normally would, and they're going to see, like if they're making a time, they're going to see what resources are available for that particular time slot. So they're like, yep, okay, you know, let's say you routinely might expect that resources available. You don't normally have a shortage, but you do want to confirm that when making an appointment. You could just make the appointment as you normally would, and you're going to see what resources are available for that time slot to make sure.
Yeah, exactly. So it's only going to show what's available. If this appointment, for example, is booked in the upstairs room, then we won't show that. If I was booking the same day, we wouldn't show that when we're making a new appointment. We're going to filter out that upstairs room. Yeah. So this prevents double bookings from happening when you are just making a new appointment.
Yeah, perfect. That's great. So this is, again, we've had this out now for a few months. It's been super well received. We've had some good, feedback, and like always listening to feedback. And this is how this feature came about in the first place. And it's been great to see how that's been received, and you know, so many people using it. So that's great. Okay, next we are going to look at credit card details with forms. Okay, this one's fairly straightforward, but what are the headlines here with how this works?
Straightforward but effective. This one's a really awesome, really awesome feature for securely collecting your client's card details without first requiring them to make a payment. So you do need to be connected with Stripe for this to work. And once you are integrated with Stripe and connected through PowerDiary, you'll be able to go onto your form designer, and you will see under the linked profile field that there will be an option for credit card Stripe. So once you choose this and you send the form off to your client, they will see a button on the form to add their card details. They'll see the little modal pop up like this, where they can securely add in their card details and store them. This is stored securely through Stripe, but then it's then connected to the client profile in PowerDiary. So you then have the power to say, if you do pre-charge for appointments or if there's a cancellation, you can do so before they do make a payment. You actually have the card details present. So very powerful.
Yeah, and it complies with all the way this is stored, complies with all the regulations in terms of how credit card details need to be stored. There's international standards on that. Stripe takes care of that, stores on there. We don't keep a copy of those details, in the system directly. We keep a link to the profile in Stripe, and then Stripe passes that information through to us when a payment's being processed, or rather we provide the details to Stripe as to who the person is making the payment, and they will then grab the details. So it's done in a way that is compliant and secure, and so you can have confidence in how that kind of operates. We're not just sticking it in a form field somewhere, in the client profile where someone else, where it's in the account itself. So
Yeah, and just worth mentioning on that as well, as you said, like if people, like if users then view the form, they won't see the credit card details. We just simply indicate if the client stored them with a yes or a no. So yeah, there's no exposing of the credit card information.
That's right. Yeah. You wouldn't have, it's right, if someone had access, like, you know, when someone in the practice went into that form, they're not going to see any information that would be a non-compliant way to do it, and we wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Very good. Right. Okay, let's jump to formatting notes. So now we had a lot of feedback around this over the years, haven't we?
Yes. So
prior to this, basically, we had the note template, but you couldn't format the text or anything within that. People were asking for options to make their notes, format them, make them stand out, highlight certain things. So what have we done here?
Exactly. So we have updated our previous, it was our multiple line, just a plain text field in our notes. You can now, with this multiple line field, add formatting. So as you said, this feature allows you to make your notes more comprehensible. It allows you to draw attention to important information and allow the formatting to look more professional if you're using like lists. So we have introduced at this stage the option to make the text, you can make it bold, italic or underline. You can also have numbered lists or unordered lists. You can indent, redent, and you can also undo and redo. So there's quite a few options here. We've got just an example of the screen, just of example notes. These aren't actual clinical notes, but just an example from our blog article on how to set up a SOAP note. So this just shows the power of the formatting for notes. Additionally, we do also have this on the information field in both notes and forms. So this information field, it's not editable when you're actually using the note or the form. It's more there as information to be seen. And this does show like on the form when the client's viewing it. So you might sort of list out information about how to fill out the form or other sort of policies, and it allows you to format that, you know, and make it more comprehensible for the client.
Yeah. And particularly if you're, let's say, example of a form where this would be common, maybe terms and conditions or engagement, you know, billing disclosures, things like that, and consent, then that way that the main information that you're asking them to consent to and read and so forth, you can make that lay it out in a way that you might in a other type of document. So it's it makes life easier and just looks more professional.
Yeah,
very good. Exactly. That's great. We've got lots of the uptake of that's been very high, we've seen since that's launched. So that's that's great. Okay, next item we're going to look at, communication function. So what's been added and updated here?
So we've had a lot of work on our communication functions. We've got a few slides here that just look through what we've done with our communications. And this first one here looks at allowing the practitioner to be notified when a user books a new appointment in their calendar. So what we're looking at here is under the practitioner's settings. And the very last option on the page here is if the user books an appointment, to notify the practitioner. And you have the choice of whether you choose an SMS or an email template to be sent to the practitioner. Just make sure that they do have a mobile number and email recorded in their profile so that that does go through to them. The way that this works then is that if a user that's logged into PowerDiary creates an appointment in that practitioner's calendar, it's going to automatically trigger this communication to notify the practitioner of the new booking. We had a lot of people that were doing this manually for every new appointment, so this really takes that hard work out for you. Just worth noting as well, we do already have notifications for the client portal. That's why this one is specific to a user, making it like when they're logged in through PowerDiary. So if a client's booking on the client portal, you can already set up notifications to go to the practitioner to let them know about those appointments. This setting is just purely for people that are logged into PowerDiary and part of the practice making bookings.
Yeah. So an example would be maybe an admin person, receives a phone call from the patient, books the patient in. Now there'll be this notification will then automatically be triggered to say to the practitioner, hey, this person has now had an appointment booked for them. So it prevents the need to kind of, because we used to have a manual, like you could right click or from the, you could say notify practitioner manually from the calendar, which I mean, you can still do.
We didn't take that away.
Check that. But this now automates it if you would like it automated.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good.
On to the next slide. Mm-hmm. So here we're looking at our communication template. So this is where you set up your emails, your SMS, and your letter templates. So we've got two changes that we're looking at in this screen. The first one that I'll talk about is the ability to filter out the inactive templates. So previously, we just had active templates and you could delete those. However, you wouldn't be able to restore that deleted template. We've now introduced the option to show inactive templates. So we're now archiving them and you can use this for archiving templates and then making them active again if you do need them. This is particularly helpful for things like Christmas specials or things that don't come up too often, but you might still need to use that communication template again. So instead of it clogging up your list of communication options in the system, you can archive it and then just make it active when you do need to see it again. So that is the first change that we're looking at here. The second one that we see in that little drop-down menu when we click on the little settings cog icon is the ability to clone a communication template. So this one allows you to seamlessly just reproduce the template. And this is especially helpful for like our emails where we have, business logos, we've got various merge fields set up. And rather than having to go through the hard work of, reproducing that for every email template we want, we can just clone that and add in the information we need for that specific template.
And an example of where that might be, someone wants to clone, maybe there's information that you send out to patients and then maybe you have a different version if maybe the patient's a child and you want to send something out to the parent or something. So where the content's very similar, but it's going to be a little bit different to cater for the different context. And previously people would literally have to try and copy and paste and get it all in. And again, people were like, hey, can you make this easier and allow this to be cloned? And that's what it does. So
it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, quality of life improvement, we call some of these. So that's great. Okay.
All right, and lastly,
we've got another one, yes.
So we've got a few things on this page. The focus here is that when you're sending an email, you have the option to choose a template, but we do have a default template that does come up. So we previously had this for sending we do still have it, but it was previously just for when you're sending an invoice, a statement or a receipt. They all picked up this default invoice email template. So you can now select for a receipt to have its own email template, which is particularly important because your email template might have something like a pay link and you definitely don't want that to show when they have paid. So when the invoice has been paid and it's now a receipt and then you're emailing that receipt off, it'll pick up this chosen email template by default so that you don't have to, select it at the time of sending the email. Mm-hmm. The other two options that we've introduced that we previously didn't have were for sending the form and also for sending the note. So this is when you're in the client's profile and you're sending the note or the form it'll be an attachment to the email. It'll pick up the chosen template here when you're sending that off. So you can tailor the information to be specific to the context here and you don't have to choose that manually each time.
So it makes things smoother and faster. And again, less risk of a mistake, if you're manually selecting from a template list all the time. I mean, it's slow and a bit annoying, but also there's a risk of misclicking, and getting something. Exactly. So having it, defaulted like this, makes life easier.
Another quality of life improvement.
Exactly.
Okay. Our next one here is cloning availability. So availability, just a note on this one, we previously used to call this roster. We recently, in the past few months, updated the terminology here to make more sense globally. So availability in this context is looking at when a practitioner is available to take appointments, you come in and set up their available times. So we have our standard availability, which is your week-on-week availability. And below that in the table, we have the override. So this is like a once-off. If you're unavailable or if you're available. So the example I've got in this screenshot is like a public holiday where the practitioner is not available that day. So what we've added here is the ability to clone an availability, so the weekly availability or the availability override. So this is particularly helpful with, say, a public holiday where we want that, let's say that all of the practitioners are taking the day off, they're going to go celebrate the public holiday. Rather than going into each practitioner and adding this, you can just go into one practitioner, add the public holiday, and then clicking on that little cog icon, we get the option to clone. And we can decide whether we want to clone that to all practitioners, or we can choose particular practitioners that may be taking that day off as well. So it really helps with, yeah, saving time otherwise spent on trying to set this up for everybody. So, yeah, another powerful tool here.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think the same scenario, if you've got a complex kind of roster that you want to duplicate elsewhere and, yeah. Then,
yeah,
or roster, yeah. I should say availability. I'm going to update my language. But yeah, if you have a, then it, again, it makes it so much easier.
Exactly. Yeah.
Less repetition. Because we did, yeah. If you've got practices that have 30, 40, 50 clinicians, like it might seem like, you know, how much time are people spending doing that? But, you know, if they're a larger practice and they're sitting there having to go through each one, you know, to say, okay, yeah, it's, that's actually a lot of time and very, very annoying. So,
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
makes again life easier. Okay,
right. Let's
jump into Gmail and Outlook mail server integration. So this is out. When was this? Was this late last year, or was I'm trying to get my timeline right, or was it earlier this year? But anyway, it wasn't.
Yeah, I've got a terrible memory, but
yeah,
it was in the past few months. I can tell you that.
Indeed.
So, okay. Yeah, this one is an enhancement on our mail sending capability. So previous to this, we had the option to either use our default mail server when sending emails, which means that we send the email on your behalf through our mail system. And we also had the option to put in custom SMTP details. So you could go in and plug in your information there. We have now directly integrated with both Gmail and with Outlook. So that you can now choose to, if you choose Gmail, for example, you can directly authenticate with Google, using your Google credentials. And that means that you don't have to plug in your SMTP details, but it's also the newer method of integrating with mail servers. So for both, Gmail and Outlook, you directly authenticate with that system. It then means, like, once you've set that up, any emails you send through PowerBarry will be sent through that mail server. And you'll be able to hop into your Gmail or your Outlook account and see the sent emails. So you have a little bit more oversight there as well, which is great.
Yeah, no, it's, again, one that we were getting requests for that, people want to be able to utilize this and, great to have that out in live.
Yeah.
And then on a related, we have the Outlook calendar sync as well.
Yeah, so this is another integration that we have built. So previously for our practitioners, we had the option to integrate with Google Calendar, which is awesome. So this one, the Google Calendar is bidirectional, so you can sync across to Google by automatically syncing your appointments and changes over to Google, and you could also manually pull in changes from Google. With Outlook, this integration is one directional. So once you integrate with Outlook, it will automatically sync your appointments over to Outlook and any changes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't at this stage pull in changes on your appointments from Outlook. So it's just one direction at this stage.
Yeah. And the use case here, for instance, people may use Outlook for other things, or they may want to have multiple calendars visible on their phone. So maybe they've got a personal calendar on their phone and they want to show their appointments from PowerDiary in a calendar on the same interface or something using there. Then this would allow them to sort of set that up so it's syncing a copy of those out to there, and then depending on how they set up their phone or whatever calendar system they're using, they can select to show or not show those appointments and makes life easier. So again, we've had Outlook users have been asking for this for a little while, and you and the product team recognized that there was a need for this, and now it's live and working. So that's really, really, really good. Okay, now we're going to jump into, I believe, we're going to look at this NDIS. So this is for, just for, because we have, obviously we operate all over the world. So this particular one here is actually just for Australian users that are involved with the NDIS or the NDIA, depending on which you're referring to. But this is allows you to do a bulk upload. So what does this do and why would people use it?
Yeah. So our NDIS is a scheme that provides insurance for individuals with a disability. We have a lot of users that do provide services to people that are covered by the NDIS. As part of that, if you are billing directly to the NDIA, so these are considered NDIA managed clients, you do need to send through your invoices. You can upload it through what's called the NDIS MyPlace portal. So they accept a bulk upload of all of the invoice services. And previously it was a matter of collecting all of the information out of PowerDiary that the NDIS does require for this and then uploading that CSV. So it was quite a bit of work. We recognise that and we recognise the growing need for, you know, collating all of this information in PowerDiary that we do have and making that process so much simpler for our users. So this report does exactly that. It collates all of the invoice services. So it's invoice items have their own row here. It's not like a row per invoice. But all of those invoice services that are billed to NDIA as a third party, if you've set that up, we'll show in this report, it's got all of the columns that the NDIA do require in that bulk upload and also in the formatting. So you can just set your filters, export it to Excel, which comes out as a CSV. Just have a look through, make sure that, you know, you've got the right invoice items in this file and other information is all as needed. And then you can upload it into that MyPlace portal for bulk payment. So it really streamlines the process for people and saves a lot of time here.
Yeah. And people, I think that, if anyone has dealt with NDIS or NDIA, it can be quite cumbersome, doing things manually and dealing with that. So this is great because it's grabbing all information that's being entered into PowerDiary. We have that data there and it's now presenting it in a way that is really, like you say, it makes it it's much faster to do that. So that is really, it's good. Another time saver.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, now let's look at client portal passwords for clients. So we've made some changes here.
So there were a few different needs that we recognized here with managing the login for the client portal. So our client portal is a really powerful tool that allows clients to log in, to book appointments. They can view their appointments and if you allow it, they can cancel upcoming appointments, but that is a setting you can choose. They can also view their invoices, download them, and if you're integrated with Stripe, they can pay for the invoices. So it's, a really powerful tool. So for clients to access the portal, because there is obviously quite a bit of information once they have logged in, they do need to set a password that they log in to view that information. We don't want anyone coming in and seeing that. So logging in and passwords can be, hard to manage. So we recognize that people needed a more streamlined manner to either set up new clients with a password or to help their existing clients reset their password. Rather than having to send, an email with a step-by-step process of click here, do this, you can just send this. We have a new link, which we've got in bold in this template to the left, which is the portal registration link. Once that's sent off in an email, your clients just click on that link and it'll take them to, we'll look at it on the next screen, but it'll take them to a page on the portal where they can just put in their email and also their password. So they pop in the email, we just verify that it does match against their profile in PowerDiary. If it doesn't, we'll just let them know that, that it doesn't match and to contact the practice. If it does match, they can put in a new password. We send off a verification to their email address to make sure that they have access to it, make sure it's the right person. And then they use that email and the new password to log in. We also, in the screenshot to the right here, we're just looking in a client's profile. We have the option to send a password reset link. So this is the same link, but we're sending just a standard email with that link off to them to reset their password. Again, this opens up the same view. So I'll switch to the slide here that shows it. So when the client receives the email, they'll be able to come in and set a new password. So also just worth noting, if they don't have an email, let's say if you're sending this by an SMS, you pop the link in there, which you can do, and they don't have an email in their profile, they can come in here and put in an email, which will then be saved to their profile, because they will need that to then log into the client portal. So they'll use the email and their password.
Yeah. That's good. So again, just streamlining the patient, the process really in a number of different ways, but I think we used to get people feedback, you know, that if, to reset, like, you know, client wants to reset their password, or they need to, that it would cause confusion, or like you said, they'd have these detailed instructions of go here, click on this, you know, and now we take care of it and send the actual link that they need. And
makes it a lot easier for clients.
It does indeed.
Very
good. Now we've got only we've got a few more major things, and then we'll run through a very bunch of smaller things. So this bulk update client details, this is another time saver, right, for and listening to what people were spending time on. How does this work, and again, why, when, what's the scenario where people might want to use this?
So we already had a bulk update under our tools menu, but this previously would just allow you to select multiple clients and either archive their profile so that they don't show up in searches, or permanently delete their data. We did have a lot of requests for people that wanted to be able to update information in the profile. So that is what this tool does. We have the options to select multiple clients. We don't see it on the screen here, but we can use the advanced search filters to filter a very particular list of clients. You know, we can even use appointment filters for when they have or haven't had appointments. So you can really refine a targeted list here, and you can then choose to update either their client status, their marketing, like their marketing status, whether they receive communication or they've opted out, and also to add or remove classifications. So you can have multiple classifications assigned to a client, and these you can set up in your custom list. So you can set these up how you like, and you can choose to add new classifications to clients or remove some. So gives you a lot of flexibility and takes out a lot of work of otherwise spent going into, you know, each client profile and having to update that information. So
and sometimes this would occur where maybe a practice was using classifications in a certain way for maybe a number of years, and then they updated their processes and said, no, we don't want to use that. But they've got all these patients like that have these combination of classifications that previously they'd have to literally go through and, you know, remove them individually, which again can take some time, so frustration. So now, like in that type of scenario, you can strip all that out easily, or you can add, you know, new things in easily. Same with the marketing side of things, that opting in and out of things is becoming increasingly important. And so again, you can update services, you know, easily to match all that. That's good. But really, I'm noticing we're on a time-saving theme, which I guess is what we always are trying to think about, right? Like how to automate, how to improve. But when you see it all stacked together, really, you can see, you know, the theme throughout is always the sort of making life easier.
Absolutely. Like these are the sort of biggest pain points for people is trying to save time on these automated tasks, or manual tasks, I should say, and automating them and just really saving them time. So it's a big focus of what we do.
Absolutely. People have always got things that they can do that will deliver more value than doing manual things like this, you know, like
absolutely.
But good. All right, now take us through what's ahead.
This one is specific to our US customers. And it's a really exciting new project. We are working on integrating with the US Clearinghouse. So this will allow you to submit claims through Power Diary. We know how much our Australian users, you know, utilize and love the Medicare integration. So we are sure that our US customers will love this. It's something that we are currently actively working on, and you may have noticed some small changes coming through, and we'll continue doing that in preparation to, you know, record the information you need for claiming. So just a few things that we've released recently in that domain is the ability to set up the organization and the providers or practitioners, their NPI and their taxonomy code. We are also currently working on the tax ID so that you can choose to either record as the SSN or the EIN. And just worth noting that the SSN will not be printed on your invoices, statements, or anything like that. It's purely just going to be recorded in the system and used for claiming. And we have also introduced the insured place of service for locations, so you can choose that for your locations. As well as that, we've set up some dedicated insurance fields for your clients so that you can record, specific insurance details. So, if it's their primary or secondary insurance, or set up their deductibles and all of that information. So that's all a step in the direction of being able to use this for our integrated claiming, which is going to be a really awesome enhancement.
Yeah, totally. And I think, again, we see a lot of requests for this coming in from US customers, and they can do billing and all sorts of things now, but to be able to integrate directly, I think, will be a game changer, as it says on our t-shirts. So really, really good. Like I say, in Australia, the integrations with claiming for various things, private insurance and Medicare, is all is utilized a lot. So we know that the US customers will really appreciate this. Very good. Now, next up, we have some user interface and user experience updates.
Yes. these are our newest exciting sort of updates throughout the system, and we've got a lot more coming. So we've got an example here of the updated look. There's quite a few different areas of the system that we have updated, and we will continue to update with our new look and a better experience. So we've updated quite a few different places. So this is an example of our login screen. On the left, we've got the old look. On the right, we've got the new look. And we have updated as well part of that workflow just when you're resetting the password or entering your two-factor authentication, when you're inviting a new user to use PowerDiary, and then also our new trial page as well. And then in the app, we have updated our site navigation menu color. So we've gone from a darker look to a more lighter, fresher theme. You'll notice in the screenshots, though, we hadn't yet updated those. So that is our older look throughout the screenshots in these slides, but we have now got that newer look in the system. And also the new booking panel colors are on their way, and a myriad of other enhancements to the look of PowerDiary are coming. So we've got a dedicated UI team or user interface team that deal with these updates, and they're working away on updating the look of the system.
There's a lot of I think sometimes when you make we make changes to the way something looks, that I think sometimes there's a temptation to think that it's just based on like what we might think or like, in terms of colors and things, or but we actually, the way that it works is really looking at the trends in the industry. So where we are looking at, browser capabilities, device capabilities, what people are used to, because as people use more technology in different ways, what's intuitive 5 years ago is not intuitive anymore, and so there's always this sort of evolving process. So we look at both the overall look and feel that we want to communicate, so that lighter, brighter kind of feel, but behind that too, there's a lot of research that goes into making sure that we're progressively keeping the app aligned with where technology heads, with where what's considered best practice, if you like, in how to develop apps that people can engage with comfortably and onboard easily, things like that. So it's there's multiple levels to it, and I think I'm really excited to see this out. We'll be releasing these things, as you're saying, like in just as we go in pieces, so it won't necessarily be that you turn on one day and everything has changed on you, anything like that. It's just you'll see bit by bit different things getting updated, and it's bright. When I look back 10-12 years ago to the early when you first started, you look back what the app looked like then, and you could see the value in those incremental updates. Things otherwise date very easily. Very good, thank you, Claire. That is we've had a lot to go over, and it's only been a few months since our last one of these. So that's great. We've got some information on the screen of where people can go for more information. So our support team's always there with the details. You click on live chat or just click on help in your account itself and you'll see the opportunity to start a live chat directly there or search knowledge base. Of course, you can book a call with our team and we've also got a roadmap available for the public to view and you can kind of see some of the key things and when they're being rolled out. So lots of really great sort of stuff out and we have a whole lot of stuff in the pipeline as well, which is on the way.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Claire, again for wonderful job you're doing getting all this stuff together and also getting the presentation to really kind of communicate to people the cool things that are happening.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and I love sharing the information and making sure that everyone knows about these exciting new things that we're putting out and utilizing them. So I hope this helps some of our users.
I'm sure it will. Thanks very much. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Bye. Everybody. Bye.
Bye.